I'm sitting in for Ed McMahon as your host on Monitor 68. In the half hour just ahead, we're going to meet Maury Amsterdam, comedian, writer, and actor, not to mention singer Trini Lopez, featured on Monitor on stage. There'll be other music, too, like this one right here from The Seekers.
Love is kind, love is wise, so much love there in your eyes.
Seekers with their latest, Love is Kind, Love is Wine.
This is Ed McMahon. For my next act, I'm going to tell you all about a beauty product. Well, don't laugh, because I really know what I'm talking about. It's a shampoo, a really good concentrate shampoo. It's made by the Breck people. It's called Breck Concentrate, not surprisingly, and it's what you might call a family shampoo. My wife, Alice, found it first for us. And being concentrated, just a little goes a long, long way and makes plenty of lather. It's not a bad idea with a bunch of kids around like ours. And being Breck, it's a very good shampoo, full of conditioners and all those things. So it even suits baby fine hair like my daughter Linda's. And it's in a plastic tube, so you don't have to worry about the kids breaking it. We take it with us on the boat in summer for that very reason. And I like it because one shampoo for all of us means we don't have all those bottles cluttering up the bathroom shelf. So here's the name again. Breck Concentrate Shampoo. The McMahon Family Shampoo. You'll like it.
Thank you, Ed. I'm sure we will. Maury Amsterdam has been in show business, you know, for a very long time, and he's currently appearing as a regular panelist on NBC TV's star-studded game show, The Hollywood Squares. But as always, Maury has other activities underway, too. He talked about it with Monitor's Jim Gerhardt just a moment ago.
Maury Amsterdam, long a familiar face to America's TV viewers.
I can't do too much about that. Once I mentioned it to a fella, and he says to me you could stay home.
But, Maury, you have some other talents that our listeners on Monitor may not know about.
I certainly hope so.
You're a serious musician.
Yeah, when I'm serious.
A comedy writer.
I've been doing that for many years. As a matter of fact, I started when I was 18 writing for a fellow you may have heard about named Will Rogers.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I didn't know about that.
Yeah, through the years, I've written for some pretty talented, nice people like Robert Benchley, Fanny Bryce, Frank Morgan, Jack Benny, Bob Hope, Burl, just about every top comic in the world, I guess.
You're a writer of popular songs, too.
Yeah, I've been lucky. During the war, I wrote a song called Rum and Coca-Cola that did pretty good for me, and since then, I've had a lot of very, very big hits. I did a lot of the special songs on the Dick Van Dyke Show. I've done tunes for Pearl Bailey, Stan Kenton, Frankie Lane, and a lot of the top singers in the country.
Maury Amsterdam, let me get back to something basic. It's a standard question, but it's something that everybody wants to know. When and how did you get your start in the entertainment business?
Were you a funny kid? If I was, only my parents knew about it, because all through school and high school, I was never in a school entertainment, only as a cello player in the orchestra. I never got into telling jokes or these kind of things. Around the family, I was kind of a funny guy, and my brother had gone out in vaudeville as a piano player for an act. And during the year or so that he was away, he became a straight man for a comic. And when he came back, he said to me, why don't we try something? And fortunately or unfortunately, his partner was taken ill in San Francisco, which is my home, and he put me into the act, and that was it. That's where I got started, and I found out that I had a latent talent for writing funny material, and I just let it develop, and of course, I was fortunate to have been born into an era where you had a better chance than you have today. Today, it's instant success. There's no place left to be bad. When I was a kid, you could start off in small-time vaudeville and be canceled a few times and then go on to better things and learn. And today, any comic who makes it today, a new comic, certainly deserves a great deal of credit because it's very rough.
You mentioned that you played the cello, presumably, right. in the school orchestra.
Well, all of my family are musicians. My father was first violinist with the San Francisco Symphony for 35 years, and before that he was concertmaster of the Chicago Opera. And naturally, all of us in the family are instrumentalists. All of my cousins, uncles, brothers, we all played instruments. And that was my father's big disappointment, that I didn't turn out to stay a professional musician.
You have, I understand, a hobby of collecting a certain type of story.
No,
is this true?
Not particularly. I collect any kind of story.
Mm-hmm.
The only collection that I'm making now is for a book I'm doing called Bright Sayings of My Wife. Every guy has got a funny story to tell about his wife.
Mm.
And I'm making a collection of them.
What I had in mind, though, when I was told that you collected stories about great people.
Well, little things that you could particularly get a kick out of, like the story of Theodore Roosevelt. It's supposed to have been the truth. And during the inaugural parade, he was riding in a car with the top down naturally. And as they rounded a corner off Pennsylvania Avenue, a kid about 5 years old stuck his tongue out at the president. The president took his hat off, leaned over the car, and stuck his tongue out at the kid. Well, this broke me up, you know.
Uh-huh.
I like the human touches of great people. Just kind of give me a kick.
Yes. What about the serious side of Maury Amsterdam? What are your serious interests?
My serious interests are, number one, I'm a great Lincolnia fan. Abraham Lincoln is, in my mind, one of the great men of all time in the history of the world. And I enjoy reading about these people and studying them. I love to play golf. I'm a photographer. And I'm a fellow who thoroughly enjoys his family. I got two wonderful kids and a great wife, and I got a mother-in-law who's a riot. She really is. She's, a lot of guys, you know, have trouble with their mother-in-law. My mother-in-law is hysterical.
That's your next book.
Huh? Right? That is.
Saying by your mother-in-law.
Oh, you think I called the other day, and I said, how's everything, Mom, out in California? She said, I had the gate fixed. Everything's swinging. I'm not making these things up.
Maybe the book after next.
Oh, she's hysterical.
You can get back to that. What are the plans of Maury Amsterdam for the immediate or the distant future?
Well, to just continue what I'm doing as long as I'm lucky enough to do them. My wife and I like to travel. We go to Europe. We travel all over. When our kids are available, they travel with us. And we have a lovely home. We entertain a lot. And fortunately and economically, I have no worries. So I just want to go on doing the things that I enjoy doing and making friends and, most of all, keeping them.
A picture of a happy, a contented, and a most successful man, Maury Amsterdam.
Thank you.
And now here's Mrs. Andy Williams, Claudine Longer, who graduated with honors from the deep breathing class.
I love how your eyes glow whenever you kiss me. And when I'm away from you, I know how you miss me. I love the way you always greet to me. And darling, most of all, I love how your heart beats.
Love Me, Claudine Langer. Time, 19 minutes after the hour. Stay with us, won't you? Right here on the Monitor Beacon.
This is Big Wilson. Remember, measure for measure, you get more. Mornings on WNBC. As the WNBC news staff and I keep you informed of what's happening with interviews and phone calls to the nation's newsmakers, you keep me informed of your opinion by calling on Plaza 78866. Mornings from 6 to 9. We act on and you react to the news in a bigger way on WNBC.
Since 1934, the Library of Congress has sponsored the Talking Book Program, through which any blind person may borrow, at no cost and postage free, a phonograph and recordings of books and magazines read by professional actors. Now, the program has been expanded, and anyone who can't see well enough to read ordinary print is eligible to borrow talking books. For more information, write to the American Foundation for the Blind, Box 111, New York 10011. Monitor, New York. WNBC, New York.
Here comes Mara, Monitor.
And here comes Monitor on stage, presented by VM, the voice of music, makers of stereo phonographs, tape recorders, and high-fidelity components. Monitor on Stage features star performances recorded at leading theaters, nightclubs, and concert halls throughout the world. We'll hear from Trini Lopez in just a minute.
Out here on the desert, the music of the camel bells and singing sands sure gets dreary.
True, Effendi.
Fortunately, the voice of music has invented portable stereo components for us nomads.
How about the VM portable component system?
I know all about it. Closed up and packed aboard your camel, it looks like an ordinary portable phonograph. But at the end of your journey, you have real stereo components.
How about the end of the journey?
Powerful solid-state amplifier, pair of terrific speakers in each enclosure, and the great VM Stereomatic record changer. Real components, all portable.
Look, our caravan approaches the gates of the city.
Ah, good. Unpack the VM portable component system as soon as we get there.
It is not possible, Effendi.
Of course it is. You just open it up, plug it in, and play it.
Providing Effendi, one did not forget it at the last oasis.
VM, the voice of music, has everything but fame. You can get a whole lot more for your money if you just remember that name.
Now stepping into the spotlight, Trinidad Lopez in concert and a grateful audience.
Y arriba,
Lopez with La Bamba. Monitor on Stage has been brought to you by VM, the voice of music.
VM, the voice of music, has invented stereo components for travelers. A component system as portable as an ordinary portable phonograph. Powerful solid-state amplifier, high-fidelity speaker system, great VM stereomatic record changer, all portable. The VM portable component system at your dealer's carry-out window.
VM, the voice of music, has everything but fame. You can get a whole lot more for your money if you just remember that name.
This coming Tuesday, the eyes of the nation will be on the state of New Hampshire, where the first presidential primaries will be run off. For a report on the pre-election activities, here's Dean Mell in Manchester, New Hampshire.
The intricate strategy of running for president without becoming a declared candidate requires a Yankee shrewdness that is much in evidence here in New Hampshire. President Johnson and New York Governor Nelson Rockefeller, while not personally campaigning, have hardworking local organizations spending a lot of time and money promoting write-in campaigns. Mr. Johnson's backers especially have mounted such a bludgeoning attack against Senator Eugene McCarthy that it is beginning to backfire. John King, the Democratic governor of Hawkish, New Hampshire, is twisting the arm of every Democratic state office holder to hold the Johnson vote. He said publicly that a vote for McCarthy will be a vote for surrender in Vietnam. Well, that was too strong, even for some of Mr. Johnson's own delegates, who repudiated their governor for implying the president has cornered the patriotism market. Johnson backers also have organized an elaborate punch card sign-up of the state's 40,000 registered Democrats, which McCarthy called coercion. On the Republican side, Richard Nixon is predicting an impossibly high write-in vote for Rockefeller next Tuesday and an unrealistically low vote for himself, a neat ploy to devalue any signs of Rockefeller's strength while at the same time enhancing his own showing. Nixon's aides are saying they'll consider 55% of the vote a big victory. A more realistic appraisal of New Hampshire Republicans indicates Nixon can expect at least 75%. Dane Mell, NBC News, in Manchester, New Hampshire.
There will be further reports from the New Hampshire on Monitor throughout the weekend.
If you think your family is getting enough of the right foods, you'll be surprised at a new government report on nutrition. It indicates that 50%, yes, 50% of American families studied have diets that fall below the recommended levels in one or more vitamins or other nutrients. 20% of the diets are rated poor, below two-thirds of the recommended levels. The most common vitamin shortages are in vitamin A and vitamin C. Diets are worse now than a decade ago. Both rich and poor are choosing the wrong foods. Maybe you are too. So why not take out some vitamin insurance? Give your family one-a-day brand multiple vitamins. Or if your children like the chewy kind, give them Chox chewable vitamins. Both supply vitamin A and vitamin C, plus all the other vitamins you normally need to take. Start your day with one-a-day or Chox. Family vitamin insurance from Miles Laboratories.
Sunday Morning, performed by the Baja Marimba Band, who'd probably call it Domingo Mañana. Now, if I didn't pronounce that correctly, address your objections to Señor Ed McMahon, who's the regular host on this portion of Monitor, heard coast to coast. In the area of Martinsville, Virginia, for instance, we're heard on station WMVA. A word now from all our NBC affiliates, and we'll be back.
This is Mel Allen. I hope you'll join me at the Monitor Sports Desk each weekend on NBC Radio.
Monitor New York, your weekend sound on WNBC New York. The WNBC time is 3:30. The temperature, 45 degrees. Back to Monitor.
This is Monitor 68. First with the news, sports, and the latest music. Here, for example, we even present Bert Kampfert with the first waltz. Waltz in 6/8 time. And now, here's the big voice of Robert Goulet, the happy time.
Remember a Christmas morning long ago, the frosted glass, the dancing snow, the happy time. Remember the painted horse, the carousel, chocolate kiss, the caramel, the happy time. Remember a pale pink sky, your first Easter hat. And if you should ask me why, the reason I ask you this is that I want to remember you remembering the happy time. Remember the compliments you once received, the lie you told, they all believed, the happy time. Remember your first school play, the sound of applause. Why do I go on this way? I'm only reminding you. the tulip tree, you walked among. The game was old, the player young. A happy time, remember a long sigh, a tentative kiss. And if you should ask me why, the reason I ask you that is this: I'm longing to see you smile and hear you laugh, so I can have the photograph and remember you, remembering a happy time.
We still have more to bring you, just wait and see.
More news, more songs to sing you, more comedy.
Again, Alan Ludden here for Monitor 68, where we will hear all the good sounds of the modern weekend world, including the latest in popular music.
Everybody's talking about the things they have to live without. What is happy, baby? They really don't know how to live. They've all forgotten how to give. What is happy, baby?
Singing Cowsill family with their latest, What is Happy, Baby? Next, Monitor's Ring Around the World, a weekend series of close-ups on people and events in this country and abroad. Brought to you by State Farm Mutual, the world's largest auto insurance company. In 1 minute, a look at the congressional debate on Vietnam. First, this from State Farm.
Hi, this is Phil Foster. You know something? I get sick and tired of people telling me I talk with a bad Brooklyn accent. Like when I say State Farm Mutual is the world's biggest car insurance company because it offers the world's best car insurance value, meaning low cost, and more than 13,500 full-time agents and claim representatives to give you fast, fair, friendly service. Now, where's the accent problem? When I say State Farm, or world's biggest, maybe when I say best car insurance value, or fast, fair, friendly service. Now, be honest, folks. Does that sound like a bad Brooklyn accent to you? To me, it sounds like a beautiful Brooklyn accent. Hey.
For your car and your home and your life. State Farm is all you need to know about insurance.
Now here is Richard Valeriani.
With Senator J. William Fulbright of Arkansas serving as the point man, a patrol of doves verbally ambushed the administration's Vietnam policy on the floor of the Senate. The civil rights bill was still being debated when Fulbright took the floor and asked to change the subject for 5 minutes. Permission granted. Then he opened up with a suggestion the administration was preparing to escalate the war in Vietnam again. Fulbright indicated another 200,000 troops might be sent into battle, and the conflict extended beyond the geographical boundaries of South Vietnam. The Senate, he said, should insist on being given the opportunity to debate any prospective widening of commitments. Fulbright's opening volley set off a crossfire of debate that lasted for about 3 hours. Some senators argued for more war, some for less. Not one made a wholehearted defense of the administration's policy. Senator Robert Kennedy of New York, arguing against the step-up in the war, escalated his own differences with the administration over Vietnam. It would be immoral and intolerable, Kennedy said, for this country to continue on its present course. The Senate Majority Leader, Mike Mansfield of Montana, warned these are the most troublesome days at home and abroad in the history of the country. He urged that Secretary General Font of the United Nations be named chief negotiator to work for a peaceful settlement. Most administration supporters, caught off guard, remained silent. Senator John Tower of Texas, a Republican, counterattacked the critics briefly, but then added some criticism of his own. The administration's policy has not worked, he claimed, because it is based on gradualism rather than a massive application of military power. The debate reflected the growing frustration over the war on Capitol Hill and the inability of Congress to do anything about it. But the lively and sometimes heated debate may have been only a skirmish preceding the next major engagement, the appearance by Secretary of State Rusk before Fulbright's Foreign Relations Committee on Monday. Richard Valeriani, NBC News on Capitol Hill.
Monitors ring around the world, another in our weekend series of close-ups on people and events here and abroad. This report was brought to you also by Newsweek magazine. Newsweek alone among news magazines is dedicated every week to separating fact from opinion. The opinions you find in Newsweek are signed opinions. It's that kind of editorial conscience that has made Newsweek the world's most quoted news weekly among the professional newsmen. They know a good story when they see one, and they know they can trust the source. You can, too. As a person who likes to make up his own mind. Incidentally, here's a listening reminder. On Monday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, NBC Radio will begin coverage of Secretary of State Rusk's appearance before the Foreign Relations Committee. Be sure to listen. That's Monday morning, 10 a.m., New York time. Vicki Carr sings, "Your heart is free just like the wind."
Your heart is free just like the wind. Your hands reach out, but not for mine now. You built our castle out of sand. I take the water, not the wine now. What went wrong? Your heart is free just like the wind. The ring you're wearing isn't mine now. I feel you're with me everywhere. And yet you're only in my mind now. What went wrong? Just tell me how.
The time? 15 minutes before the hour. More of everything coming up, so stay with us. You're on the Monitor Beacon.
My name is Long John Neville, and I have a question for you. What's the shortest distance between two points of view? The answer, straight line. My early morning telephone show. So, if you have an opinion or question, call and add to the outgoing sound of the incoming calls on Straight Line, the Long John Neville telephone show, mornings, that's right, mornings from 5 to 6, right here on WNBC.
What's it all about?
Like that sound? I'm Dionne Warwick, and that's Alfie. And you can hear more of the same at your YMCA. That's the place where things are happening these days, where your whole crowd can have a lot of fun. Why don't you fall by and look around? There's dancing, a gym, swimming, handball, a running track, and a high Y club for high school kids. Man, the Y is a happening. Join the fun.
Monitor, New York. WNBC, New York. Again, Monitor 68. I'm Alan Ludden, sitting in for Ed McMahon. Now, Monitor Sports. The subject, golf. On the tee, a pro who's playing today in the Doral Open in Miami.
This is Paul Chrisman for Monitor Sport, and we're talking to Dick Sykes. Dick, I've asked this question quite often. What about these young people, and you've seen several of them in your tournaments, who are heading the tournament for one day and shoot this fantastic score, and then they balloon to 90 the next day and the next 2 days maybe. What happens there?
Well, I can tell you about that because I was there once. First year I was out, I think I was in third place in the World Carling. And the last day I had a 78, and I had one or two bad holes, and I got a little shook over it, and I just sort of gave up. And that really taught me a lesson, and since then I've played pretty hard all the way.
Is there much psychology along the way? Are you thinking more all the time, and can you outthink yourself while you're playing?
Yes, you can outthink yourself, and thinking is one of the most important parts of the game, I think. It's a big advantage if you can control your temper and control yourself.
One last question. If you were telling a young man who was thinking about going into this world of golf, and let's face it, we all know it's a kind of a rough row to hoe because you have some great people to play against, what would you advise a young man?
Well, I think that a young person, I've got a couple little brothers, and I tell them just to hit as many balls as they possibly can and find out how the ball's going to react, hit all kinds of different shots, and also play in as many tournaments as they can and get as much experience. And those two things, a lot of practice and a lot of experience, helps you a lot out here.
Thank you so much. We've been talking to Dick Sykes, and this is Paul Chrisman for Monitor Sports.
For the best and most comprehensive sports coverage in radio, stay with Monitor. We haven't heard from Johnny Mathis for a while, but here he is now with his latest. Most of all, there's you.
In a world there'll never be a love as wonderful for me. I've had my share of dreams come true. there's you.
If you think your family is getting enough of the right foods, you'll be surprised at a new government report on nutrition. It indicates that 50%, yes, 50% of American families studied have diets that fall below the recommended levels in one or more vitamins or other nutrients. 20% of the diets are rated poor, below two-thirds of the recommended levels. The most common vitamin shortages are in vitamin A and vitamin C. Diets are worse now than a decade ago. Both rich and poor are choosing the wrong foods. Maybe you are too. So why not take out some vitamin insurance? Give your family one-a-day brand multiple vitamins. Or if your children like the chewy kind, give them Chox chewable vitamins. Both supply vitamin A and vitamin C, plus all the other vitamins you normally need to take. Start your day with one-a-day or Chox. Family vitamin insurance from Miles Laboratories.
The idea of flying like a bird has fascinated mankind for centuries, and many attempts have been made to simulate natural flight. In the current issue of Esquire, there is an article on this subject dealing, among others, with a gentleman named James L.G. Fitzpatrick. He's an authority on man's efforts to fly like the birds. Mr. Fitzpatrick was interviewed for Monitor by Charlie Holmes.
Dean Fitzpatrick, if man was supposed to fly like a bird, why wasn't he given wings?
Well, as just a plain ordinary man, he probably wasn't intended to fly like a bird, but as he has developed fixed-wing aircraft and rotary-wing aircraft, that is, the helicopters, so I think it is within his province to develop a beating-wing aircraft in the near future.
Does man have enough strength, that is, enough of his own horsepower, to take off?
Well, and there's a difference of opinion on this. There is one school of thought, and Mr. Saney in Delaware is an example of one of the men who believe this, that man has at least enough power to get off the ground and perhaps under very favorable circumstances maintain himself aloft for a while, you might say, as a matter of sport.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my own feeling is that it's just a little bit beyond man's capability, so I'm primarily interested in developing a low-powered aircraft, but not a man-powered aircraft.
Now, for a layman, is it the beating of the wings?
Well, the beating
makes them airborne?
The beating is, yes. It's a. I would say that you cannot get this kind of flight without beating. The kind of performance that the bird or the bat or the insect gets is tied in with the fact that for a short time after you begin to beat a wing, there is a situation in the air around it which you cannot maintain for any long period of time. You have to renew it by beating again and by beating again. And this is a very advantageous situation for low-powered flight. Strangely enough, it costs a lot more power to fly at very low speeds than it does at moderate speeds.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of our great problems.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is the low-speed aircraft that has the capability of the short landings and the short takeoffs. And we're thinking of intercity travel or anything like that. This is the kind of an airplane we must look for.
Are you saying that perhaps in years to come, maybe not too many years from now, an ordinary man can walk out of the office, flex his wings, and take off for his commuter home, wherever it happens to be?
Well, I'd say more likely he'd walk out of the office and walk to the nearest high building, which has an airport on the roof, and take off from the roof of that and land, I'd say, within a block or two of his home in Connecticut or New Jersey.
By himself, not in any other craft.
Well, it would be in an aircraft, actually, but it would be a personal aircraft, as a private automobile is a personal device.
So, in a sense, you're not saying that man really will exactly fly like a bird.
No, I'd say the aircraft he will fly in would fly like a bird, though.
Thank you, James L.G. Fitzpatrick, Dean of Staten Island Community College and one of the nation's leading authorities on natural flight. We've enjoyed chatting with you and reading about your Birdman experiments in the current issue of Esquire. Come again, won't you?
Oh, yeah.
This is Charlie Holmes for Monitor.
One man's view of human flight. Another good reason for watching your weight. Say, if you've ever taken something out of a dry cleaning bag and noticed a spot or a missing button or a broken zipper or a mashed hook, you'll appreciate your Arnold Palmer Cleaning Center's professional approach to cleaning. The people at Arnold Palmer Cleaning Centers watch out for the little things. They take extra care. And their extra efforts mean you never have to be disappointed with dry cleaning again. Yes, at your Arnold Palmer Cleaning Centers, they watch out for little things. It makes your clothes look a little nicer, and that's a lot. And now a question. How do you get the best in weekend listening? Answer?
Just keep tuned to Monitor.
More music now, played by Paul Moriart and his orchestra. The nation's number one song on Monitor 68, your number one information and entertainment center. Just ahead, NBC News on the hour. I'm your host, Alan Ludden.
Don't go away, there's more to come, more to interest everyone. Just stay tuned, we'll be back soon.
Senator Charles Magruder today threw his hat into the ring for the Republican presidential nomination. Thus far, there's been no comment from the other contestants, Nelson Rockefeller and Richard Nixon. Perhaps they haven't seen Gore Vidal's new comedy Weekend, in which Senator Charles Magruder, the leading character, is played by John Forsythe. Weekend tickets are now on sale at the Broadhurst Theater on West 44th Street. It opens Wednesday evening, March 13th, with previews on Monday and Tuesday. Throw your hat into the ring for an evening of lively, timely entertainment. Get your tickets today for a Weekend. Weren't you going to do it in 1966? Or maybe it was 1967. If you didn't sign up for United States Savings Bonds, then why not start in 1968? Join the Bond a Month plan where you bank. Then you can buy higher interest Freedom Shares, too. They pay 4.74% interest at maturity in just 4.5 years. And they're redeemable after 1 year, so why put it off? Sign up for Savings Bonds and Freedom Shares. Make this the year you get somewhere.
Monitor New York, your weekend sound on WNBC New York.